Well, hello, hello, guys. You're listening to Beauty Bites with Dr. K, Secrets of a Plastic Surgeon. And today on the podcast, we're going to talk with the fabulous Dr. Mark Tager. And he wrote a book. It's called Feed Your Skin, How to Be Beautiful from the Inside. Hey, Mark, say hi to everybody.
Hey, great to be with you.
Dr. Tager is very humble, and I've met him at a meeting. I just fell in love with his personality. He's so enthusiastic, warm, intelligent, and really knowledgeable. And he's CEO of ChangeWell Inc. He's a consultant in aesthetics, natural products, regenerative medicine. He's the VP of marketing for Reliant in the past, where he launched Fraxel Lasers and also worked with Syneron. And now he's the author of many books, 10 books. I don't know.
11. This is number 11, Feed Your Skin Right.
Number 11. Oh my gosh. And this book, Feed Your Skin Right, is right up our alley in aesthetics. And it's everything I'm interested in about skincare. Tell us about your new book, Feed Your Skin.
Well, it's designed to answer the four questions that I have been asked since the beginning of time. What should I eat? What supplements should I take? What topical should I apply? And what procedures should I have? You know, everybody wants this really fast answer, quick. Well, wait a minute, just tell me the one thing or tell me the three things. And I do have a quick answer. It depends. Mm-hmm. And the book is what it depends upon, because your nutritional genomics, your food sensitivities, the medications you take, the chronic illnesses you may have, your stage of life, all of this has to do with informing you in order to create a nutrition program that works just for you.
That's so true. That nutrigenomics is very interesting, this concept of eating for your genes. How does that work? Do you recommend everybody gets genomic testing to understand how their DNA makes them process foods?
I think there's a handful of tests, of assessments that are under the guise of personalized nutrition. I like nutritional genomics, nutrigenomics, because it can tell you a little bit more, give you some more information about the SNPs, the single nucleotide polymorphisms, the genetic variants that impact how you absorb, how you transport, and how you metabolize nutrients. So you may have SNPs for absorption, metabolism, or transport. I'll give you an example, vitamin D. Now, everyone should know their vitamin D level. Most people, the vast majority of people do not. So you can have a SNP for the metabolism and the transport of vitamin D. So this essentially means that your requirements for vitamin D are much higher than someone who doesn't have those SNPs. Mm-hmm. Same with vitamin C, same with some of the others. And these tests can also provide some information on the extent to which you are prone to glycation, which is the binding of sugar to proteins, to skin pigmentation, to the MMPs that mm-hmm. degrade collagen. So you can get some information there as well. So I think this is a valuable test. There's others, microbiome testing. We do gut microbiome testing. Increasingly now we're beginning to see skin microbiome testing coming into vogue. Food sensitivities, certainly helpful. So there's a whole host of tests, and I do like skin nutrigenomics.
It's so interesting. I was at the Beauty Through Science meeting recently, and a lady lectured on nutrigenomics. She mentioned that half the people in this audience are drinking their caffeine every morning routinely and not even knowing that it's going to kill them. Like half the people process caffeine very nicely. They're the fast metabolizers. The other half are the slow metabolizers. They shouldn't really drink after noontime. And caffeine is more likely to cause them a heart attack or stroke
right.
or death. And you know, it's all based on one gene variation and the CYA type of
the CYP genes. And the CYP genes are critical in the liver for detoxification.
Yeah.
And we also know that people have genes that detoxify certain drugs. So that's right. So that whenever you see these studies, coffee is good for you, coffee is bad for you, coffee doesn't matter. What happens is that you've got to take into account these genetic variants. And that's right. For about certainly between a third and a half the population, more than 2 cups of coffee a day increases the risk of heart attacks and strokes. Wow. For others, fortunately, I'm one of them because I would have never written 11 books without my caffeine. You can drink more than 2 cups and it's fine for you.
Yeah, those are the people who drink it and they can fall right asleep.
Well, that's another little piece, though. That piece is has to do with how one handles and processes adenosine. And there's a gene there for adenosine, which helps to put you to sleep. But there are people who have genetic variants in how they handle the adenosine. So it's a little bit more complicated. You know, we all want simple answers, but nutrigenomics can really inform a good bit of that.
Yeah, so that's genetic testing. There's a couple big companies that do it. It costs like probably around $500 to do a panel.
Yeah, the company that I like is a company called Nutrigenomics. They have a special skin health and beauty report. You can have a counselor go over the results with you. I think that's an excellent report, organized very nicely for the consumer and for the practitioner.
Yeah, that's super interesting. You mentioned in your book that Americans have the most expensive urine in the world and most vitamins are just excreted. So tell us about that, because that is true.
Well, it's one of those things you hear from uninformed physicians who say, no one needs to take vitamins and supplements. You get everything you need from your diet. And all these vitamins just go out in your urine. Mm-hmm. Well, that part, the B and C vitamins are excreted in the urine. No harm, no foul. But the point is that we don't get, the standard American diet is horrific. It is obviously high in sugar, 100 pounds of added sugar a year that causes glycation. We have the imbalance in the omega-6s versus the omega-3s. Omega-3s are the good essential fatty acids, omega-6s are the bad ones. The excess of omega-6s found in all these refined oils start pushing the pathways towards inflammation. So when we talk about an inflammatory diet, we talk about sugar and glycation. We talk about an imbalance in omega-6s and 3s. We talk a lot about processed food. And so where does that inflammation show up? It shows up in the skin. So we know from surveys, for example, from studies, that the average American does not even meet the midway point for things like vitamin D and choline, which is essential for nerves, and other nutrients, magnesium, zinc, are depleted. And the average American diet is not a healthy diet. So there is a rationale, by the way, for intelligent supplementation. Mm-hmm. And I call it intelligent supplementation. You have to know why you're taking things. And I don't think that we need mega doses of anything. But if you've got these genetic variants, you might need more of a certain nutrient than someone else. In fact, you might need more than the average recommended amount.
So omega-3s, bad oils would be like seed oils, refined oils, right?
The omega-3s are the good guys. That's what's found in salmon and krill oil. Those are the category is essential fatty acids. Why are they called essential? Because you must supply them in the diet. Where do we see this showing up in the skin? When the esthetician is bending over the practitioner, the dermatologist, the plastic surgeon, they are seeing issues with skin barrier functions, the outer layer of the skin. Mm-hmm. And these essential fatty acids, along with other minerals and vitamins, are essential to maintain that healthy skin barrier. Now, when you have an imbalance, it used to be before World War II, the ratio of omega-6 to omega-3s was about 3 or 4 to 1. Mm-hmm. After omega-6, what happened? Corn oil.
Mazola.
Mazola, all of these corn oils and also the heavily refined safflower and sunflower oil started pushing people to ratios of 15, 18, 20 to 1. Mm-hmm. And what happens is in the body, we always need balance. Look, you need some omega-6s, but you need a balance. You need the right balance. When you push it towards omega-6s, that pushes it towards a cycle that creates prostaglandins. And mm-hmm. prostaglandins are the inflammatory molecules that go to the skin and the joints and the linings okay. of the blood vessels. So that's
eating the refined,
along with that, yeah.
processed foods, things that yep. have lots of vegetable oil and seed oils versus like olive oil.
Olive oil, the omega-9s, that's right. Yeah. The monounsaturated oils, avocado and olive are great. I mean, you just have to lean on those.
Yeah.
Get in the habit of pushing a lot of, put olive oil on a lot of stuff. Yeah.
What are you taking for your supplement regimen every day? what are your
I knew you were going to ask me that because
of course I am. This is
I get asked that
questions.
I will tell you that what I take is different from what I would recommend for you or anyone else. So what do I take? I take a multivitamin and I take a skin enhancing formulation. So in a multivitamin, you get vitamins and minerals usually. What you don't get are all the herbal components that create these incredible antioxidants that are necessary for skin health and beauty. You also don't see or get enough of the critical phytonutrients that you need. I take one of three or four preparations every day. I take either Ethern, which is a great little liquid shot once a day that has some great bioflavonoids in it. There's another preparation called Qualia Skin, which is excellent. SkinAid is coming out these days with some very good tasting liquids. So I like to do that because you get the ceramides, you get the bioflavonoids. You sometimes will see some ashwagandha in some of these to act as an adaptogen to help you downregulate stress, which is why the Nutrafol product is so amazing for women. It's got the adaptogens that downregulate some of this inflammation that we have. So I take that. I take something called palmitil ethanolamide with curcumin, PEA plus, and it's from Enzyme Science. And I'm on their scientific advisory board. I've studied the literature there. It is a really great anti-inflammatory component that works on the endocannabinoid system and the cholinergic anti-inflammatory system. So it works on two systems in the body. And it's got some good things for joint and neurological things. I take a fish oil with Mariva curcumin mm-hmm. also. I take a CoQ10. Because I think we need all the mitochondrial zip we can get.
Yeah.
And the other thing I like to take is a magnesium supplement. Again, I take a magnesium acetyltaurinate, and because that crosses the blood-brain barrier very nicely. And magnesium is a cofactor in more than 300 cellular reactions. It's really important for mitochondrial health. I also I take some extra vitamin D because I've got the SNPs. So I take more vitamin D than most people because I've got both of those. I've got two SNPs.
Cool.
What else do I take? That's pretty much the main. Oh, nitric oxide. I take a product called Human N because sometimes another one from Berkeley Life, because nitric oxide is protective of the endothelial lining. We've got 60,000 miles of blood vessels going through our body. 5 to 10% is going through the skin. And we need that endothelial lining in the skin to stay healthy. And I take that.
Oh my God, I should have written all that down because my head is spinning.
I don't know. I tell the story in the book of what I take and why I take it also. So it's in Feed Your Skin Right. But again, I want to emphasize what I take is not the same as someone else. I mean, I've got certain SNPs for things that I have to think. I'm on certain medications that deplete some nutrients, so I have to be a little careful there. And then there's some good basics that I take, because even though I try to eat a great diet, I'm on the road, I'm traveling, I don't know that produce is organic. You know, it's late at night and my circadian rhythm is screwed up a little bit. So
yeah, well, that's super interesting. I definitely will write that down and study that more, because everything you said sounded very accurate and good. I'm a big fan of intermittent fasting, and I love what it's done for my metabolism. Yes. But I also worry that it's cut out a lot of nutrients because you're eating like 40% less than you normally do. And it's hard to consolidate everything you eat. So do you have any advice for intermittent fasters?
Yes. The goal is just to take all of the good nutrients that you can possibly take and compress them into a shorter window. I mean, so you're not going to say, and this is not a weight loss program.
Right.
I mean, you can lose weight if you eat less, but what you're really doing is promoting autophagy. Autophagy is just cellular cleaning. It's getting rid of the dead cells and the little broken fragments of protein that are floating around and allowing the housekeeping process to take place. So you rest the digestive system. You need your 7 hours of sleep for that as well, because that's when the body does so much of this housekeeping. So that's the real benefit. The benefits are for the autophagy and for the house cleaning. Now, having said that, intermittent fasting, I call it time-restricted eating, it's not for everybody, but I think it's one of those things that are pretty easy for people to just start off with.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good starting place. And what you want to do is confine your eating, you know, to a 10 to 12-hour window each day. So what that essentially means for most people is eat early. Don't eat and drink after dinner. Wait later in the morning to have your breakfast. Now, I personally really don't. I don't eat until right about now. Mm-hmm. I would have a big breakfast. I would get all my nutrients. I'd have a salad from the garden along with everything I'm eating. And I'd put olive oil on things. And I'd have a big omelet.
Mm-hmm.
And with vegetables, and you know, I tolerate
over.
Well.
That sounds good. I'm coming.
So come
over.
On over. Well, you're just down the road. Yeah. You could come down from LA. We'd come for breakfast.
Yeah, that sounds good. I mean, you're right. You just condense what you're just doing into a shorter time window. But how do you stomach all those vitamins? Honestly, it's so like nauseating to take giant.
Yeah, vegetables. Now, and that's one of the reasons that I try to turn to liquids as often as possible. And why I like the Etherin product is I just take a liquid shot every day and I like the way it tastes. It's good tasting. Mm-hmm. I don't have a lot of nutrients. First of all, I also cut everything in half. If they say the serving size is 2, you know, you and I are phenotypically, we're not real, real big people.
Yeah.
So I cut everything in half, and I take my fat soluble vitamins with food. I think that's important. Some of the pills, you know, the fat soluble the things, the fish oils, they can be a little big, but it's not a lot. And divide it in half and half, half in the morning, half in the evening. And that usually works pretty well.
I think it's hard to be fully compliant. Like, if I'm being honest, I have times when I'm 2-3 months, I'm so good at taking all my supplements, and then I'll just fully abandon ship and take nothing. Like right now, I've been taking nothing for last 2 months, and I'm just like, I don't know why, but it just doesn't appeal to me. And then
Well,
I need
the way
to be better about it, but I don't know how.
Yes and no. The way I started out and my earliest thinking of this was that most of the time when I'm home, I'm eating from my garden, I'm really selecting food carefully, I know I'm eating well, I'm exercising, I'm sleeping well, I probably don't need a lot of extra supplementation.
Yeah.
But then once I get into a phase where I'm working really hard and there's a lot of stress or I'm traveling, I will take my supplements. Now, I'm like you, I don't take supplements every day, but I try to take them every, you know, as often as I think about it.
Right.
There's some that I take every, there are a few I take every day. But I think it's, you know, none of us eat perfectly all the time.
Right.
No one has a perfectly clean, organic, healthy diet. We're all going to enjoy that piece of chocolate cake sometimes. And it's just the way it is. And nobody actually, very few people other than some zealots, really are taking their supplements every day. But I think you want to lean towards, certainly 60% of this is diet. And 20% is supplements. And the other 20%, I put in the hands of a great dermatologist, a plastic surgeon, an esthetician to help me with skin health and beauty from the outside in. So I think that's my formula. It's a 60-20-20 sort of a formula.
That's awesome. In terms of glowing skin, are there top five vitamins or supplements that will really change your skin quality?
Well, I could answer it depends, but I will give you some thoughts there. I think that certainly we need to get more vitamin C. All of us need vitamin C. It is essential. We cannot manufacture it. There are SNPs and genetic variants that have to do with it. It is essential for collagen and elastin production, where it joins up very synergistically with vitamin E and iron. Those are two others. So I think vitamin C is certainly one of them. Now, as far as antioxidants, everybody's got their favorites. Yeah. My favorite has to be astaxanthin. Astaxanthin is the is responsible for the red color of salmon and crab and lobster. And it's a very powerful antioxidant. I look for astaxanthin in preparation. So I like that. Astaxanthin, lycopene, zeaxanthin, they're all carotenoids, which impart the yellowy orange, red to things. So you also, by the way, eat blueberries. Mm-hmm. And this is how you know when you're going to a integrative medicine conference versus an aesthetic conference. When they put out the blueberries in the morning, they're all gone in the first 5 minutes in the integrative medicine conferences, and they linger on in the other ones. So I think vitamin C, I'm a big fan of astaxanthin. Your fish oils are critical. I mean, you've got to get your fish oils in there. That kind of gives you three. Now, the other thing that you can give some serious thought to, especially if you're not eating enough prebiotics, if you're not eating kimchi, if you're not eating sauerkraut, if you're not eating enough fiber, and even if you are, a probiotic is also a very good thing. There are spore-based probiotics that can go through and survive the harsh environment of the stomach. As a megaspore from Microbiome Labs. And that's a really good... good supplement. You know, we also know that in acne, for example, one of the things that we have that propels acne is the lack of enough of the essential fatty acids getting to the skin. Mm-hmm. And the gut, the bacteria in the gut, make butyrate, they make acetate, they make propionate. Acetate, propionate go to the skin. Very critical for that barrier function. So I think a probiotic's another one. And then we're sort of, you know, you can pick one. But I think a nitric oxide supplement for most people is a really good thing for the endothelial lining, endothelial function. So those would be my top five. And I hate top fives. Because
we need it.
It's really the top five of the 20%. Before that, it's 60% of eating well, because here's what I will tell people all the time. If they come see me and they want advice, I cannot out-supplement your crappy diet.
That's right.
I mean, people want the answer. Just tell me the one pill. Tell me the three pills.
I know. But the truth is collagen peptides. Are you a fan of taking a collagen supplement, a collagen peptide?
Yes and no. I think people who eat collagen peptides are just broken down into their constituent amino acids that are absorbed into the body. And three of them are critical for forming collagen, which also needs vitamin C and iron to be created in the skin. I first will often caution people who think that somehow they're going to eat this collagen peptide and it's going to go right to where they need it. And it's going to sort of, you know, and that's just not going to happen. Okay.
No, but globally.
But globally, it will work. If you eat a meat in your diet, you're probably getting all of the amino acids that you need. Now, if you're not a big meat eater, I think there's a place for them, for collagen peptides. I followed the skepticism of my dermatological colleagues who are kind of moving in the direction of this is interesting. So I think it's helpful. I always encourage people to look for a preparation that has some other things as well. Mm-hmm. So it's not just the collagen doing the heavy lifting, but there's vitamin C in there, for example, or zinc carnosine, which mm-hmm. is also really good for the gut. So there are some preparations that can give you a little bit more at the same time. But again, you're going to be looking at a bovine or a fish source. Mm-hmm. There's really no good vegan sources. If you are a vegan, then I'm going to encourage you to really make sure your iron levels and vitamin C are up there, because without them, you're not going to manufacture the collagen sufficiently. Mm-hmm. So, I've changed a little bit in my thought process looking at the literature. I think there's a place for it, but modest expectations. Right. But now I'll say one more thing, and you probably know this better than I. When we intentionally wound the body, we wound it with mechanical energy or thermal energy or cryo energy, and we are trying to get a collagen remodeling phase going on. As I'm speaking, you know this better than I do, but when we heat that collagen up, it unwinds it and becomes the scaffold for collagen remodeling or new collagen. And that is a message to the body that is saying, hey, let's make new collagen here now. So this stimulation process then draws upon the antioxidants from the body, the essential amino acids, minerals, and all of those must be present in a symphony in order to make a really great piece of music. Right. And I do believe that preparing a patient pre and post being 6 months for collagen remodeling, and making sure that they have adequate tissue levels of these essential nutrients, that's what gives the great results. That's why some practitioner results, now obviously there's skill in how you in the hands, but I do think that this plays an important part of getting the best results, having good tissue health, good nutritional status pre, during, and post.
That's so important. Well, you're such a thoughtful, really well-educated, knowledgeable thinker on all of this. I think there's so many people who are just influencers who are telling us what supplements to take without the scientific background and knowledge. So it's refreshing to hear that you've really anchored your book in science-based, evidence-based medicine.
And where I have a bias, I share it. I mean, we all have our biases, and I have mine. But I'd like to think that most of us will do things informed by the science.
Exactly.
And avoid the fads and the quick fixes. And also recognize that it's nutrition, it's stress management, it's exercise, it's loving relationships, it's gratitude. There's so many things that go into making a person glow and making a person beautiful from the inside out. And all of that holistic viewpoint is what we really need to have as practitioners and as consumers.
Amazing. What's our next book going to be, Mark?
I'm waiting for you to say, Mark, let's write a book together.
And I would love that. What a great idea.
Just let me know. I've got one more left in me. Got 11 down. I've got room for one more.
Oh, no. We need to hit lucky 13. Two more.
But the other thing I'm doing, you know, we've created an online training course called Inside Skin Beauty. That'll be out in January. And that's a 9-hour course that goes into these, you know, what do you eat? What do you put mm-hmm. on your face? And then how do you implement a program? So I'm excited about that. That's been a real labor of love of trying to take all of this information and condense it into a course as well. So that's been a labor of love for me recently.
I love how you're a creator. You don't sit still. You just keep creating. Where can people find you on your various handles?
Okay. At DRM Tager is my Instagram. I'm somewhat active there, and I'm also on LinkedIn. If you're a professional, just look me up on LinkedIn. I've got a personal site, which is Dr. Tager. So you can look at that and read my wild, wacky story of how I came to incorporate integrative medicine and aesthetics together at DRM Tager. And you can always just hit me up by email at contact@DRM Tager.
And we'll put that in the show notes for sure.
Yeah, thanks, Kay.
Well, it's been a pleasure chatting with you. I'm so excited. I'm thankful I've got your new book. I'm definitely reading it. Here it is, if those of you guys are watching visually. And we'll link it also in the show notes. Check it out. Feed Your Skin Right, Dr. Mark Tager. This is a wealth of information.
Thank you, Kay. It's always such a pleasure to be with you. And I look forward to seeing you at some more meetings. And let's think about what the title for that 12th book is.
I know. That's right. I'm already picking it up. Well, guys, that's it for now. Don't forget to find me on my Instagram. It's Beauty by Dr. K, DRKAY, doing amazing things with people's faces. And our website is the same, beautybydrk.com. I have a lot of really great antioxidant products and awesome vitamin C, a stem cell growth factor, even a collagen peptide. But I love to learn more about skin and beauty, and I hope you guys are learning a lot from the podcast. Check us out next week for another Tuesday podcast and a 5-Minute Friday. That's it for now, guys. Stay beautiful.